Jaspreet Boparai and Don Nicholson with Greenwashed on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
You're back with Greenwashed on RCR with Jaspreet and Don. And in recent months, in fact, over about a year, we've had quite a few guests on talking about the RMA, and in particular, the sites of significant natural areas and sites and areas of significance to Māori. And today we're going to have Jason Herrick, the Federated Farmers Southland President, on. So welcome, Jason. How's your first 3 months in the job been?
Yeah, thank you very much, Don. Seriously busy. This has been seriously busy. We've had four LTPs going on, lots of documents to read, local government, winter grazing, change of government, change of rules and regulations, a lot to get your head around, really, and a shit ton of reading, like heaps and heaps of reading. And I never thought I'd do this much reading ever since I left school. This is the most reading I've ever done.
Yeah, well, they certainly bombard you with as much as you can take, and more, actually. And if you can, I used to sit on the plane in the morning and try to get that last bit crammed in. And, you know, quite often I'd be asleep within 10 minutes of taking off, and you get to the last 10 minutes of the flight and then you're cramming a bit more in. It's a tough job you've got, and it's underrated, and people underrate the effort you put in. So all power to your arm. Hey, but we need to talk about this thing that's going on in Southland, and it's gone on in other regions in the country. But the Gore District Council has decided, in its wisdom and its draft plan, that it's going to put the sites and areas of significance to Māori over the whole council area. I mean, what gets me, Jason, before we get into this, is this that's called SASMs. It's been in the RMA from day dot. 1991. We're now 33 years on, but it's only the last 6 or so years this has even raised its head. But now you have a Gore District Council doing this big push to try and, I think, intimidate the region, actually, because they refuse to identify, this is the Runanga, identify the sites. Whereas in Timaru, they had 50% of the district. The West Coast had problems. How are you coping with this, and what do you think the answer is? Because I know you're working on it.
Absolutely. Like, this, it makes no rhyme or reason to me as to why they want to claim the whole area is significant to Māori. And I understand, local Runanga had a huge part to play in the written part of the policy, right? But I think it's just a play on words, and also the council being lazy. Rather than, somebody committing to some hours here, identifying where these sites actually are. And since we've put our press release out, hitting against us, because this has huge implications right across the board, right through to, more costs of, running costs on farmers, not just farmers, but town folk as well. Extra costs when you're applying for a consent. If you want to change anything on your land, you're going to have a cultural assessment done. There's just so many bureaucracy pathways here being created by doing what they're doing. And we've been hit back. I've been called racist. I've been called all sorts in this last week since putting this out. And that's what they do to try and to hush you up, right, to live you in fear. They use the racist card. But, like, seriously, I'm part Māori. I'm part European. I'm proud of who I am. I haven't dug deep into my background, into my family history, into the Māori side, but I really, really want to, because I think it's very important for my family going forward that my kids know where we come from. But that aside, we've got to do what's right here, not what's easy. And this is a real bugbear for me, that people are so hell-bent on doing what's easy rather than doing what's right.
Well, and so the thing for me, Jason, is they're turning land owning into a liability. And that's really what annoys me. I mean, it is always a liability. You have responsibilities when you're owning land and freehold title. But these people are trying to come back into your freehold title through legislation. And, when they can't identify what they're looking for and what they're trying to tell you to be mindful of, it says to me there's something deeper going on. And I know in our region, we do fund the local iwi through a concept called iwi liaison. And it just strikes me that this is more ways to take some cash out of other ratepayers' pockets and do more of this iwi liaison. When I started lobbying for feds way back in the 90s, iwi liaison in Invercargill City was $21,000, $70,000 over the four councils. God knows what it is now, but I've heard rumours it's near $1 million. This is to have discussions with Maori. Now, is this an extortion racket or not? I mean, I don't think, I hate to use that, but someone's going to have to lance the boil here. Someone in this country is going to have to lance the boil.
Since we put our press release out, Don, we've had so much support from around the country because everyone's, you know, fearful of the same thing happening. If this goes through with the Gore District Council, it can quite easily have national ramifications right across New Zealand because it will push for them in a lot of other councils. Some of the things are being talked about in and around the country. So, you know, this does have huge potential to be blown out. But since they've been pushing back, you know, the council said we've got it wrong. Local Runanga said we've got it wrong, that they don't want to, you know, class the whole area as a site of significance, but it's written in the plan. They're in black and white, plain English, and for everyone to read, and it reads like this, like it's there. It says all land, water bodies, natural features, and marae within Gore District are recognised as sites of areas of cultural significance to mana whenua and tangata whenua and are afforded appropriate considerations in relation to their management, development and use. What part of that is not the whole district? Like, seriously, all land and water bodies. It's the whole district. So let's stop playing on words, because that's what they're doing.
It's only a draft. It's only a draft, Jason. But once it's like that, you know, once it's in a draft, it's very hard to get out. That is the problem. Sorry, Jasper.
No, I'm looking at the Gore District Council's website, gentlemen, and it says there are no specific restrictions associated with SASM sites and areas of significance to Maori. And then a few lines later, it goes on to say sometimes, but not always, we may need input on the cultural impacts of the activity, ranging from a simple email to a more detailed assessment, depending on the scale and effects of the proposal. Now, what any business needs is certainty. You need certainty to be able to conduct your business the way you're doing. There have to be some very detailed markers on what they want, because as Jason was saying, being called a racist, just being able to do your work without undue, what would they use that term, quiet enjoyment, it's not even that, but without undue impacts, it is essential for anyone doing it, but they don't seem to consider that this can impact anyone. But you are saying, Jason, the Runanga itself is saying it doesn't want the whole district map, but the council is doing it?
Yeah, so I haven't been through the whole video yet of the submission that Runanga put to the council. We've got our policy team working on that, and we are going to meet with local Runanga because they asked for a meeting, we asked for a meeting, and we're going to sit down with them and go through step by step as to what they're looking for, what they want, and what they perceive is written in the plan, because they did help write it. All right, and if they don't want to class the whole area as significant, well, let's get down to the nitty-gritty and actually find out what they want and how they want it. How hard is it to identify sites of significance to Maori? How hard is it? I know there's already some sites identified in the Gore District that farmers are protecting. You know, we want to know where these sites are so we can protect them and give respect to mana whenua, right? So let's all work together in this and do what's right.
And some cynicism is justified here, because Don said we've had guests in the past. We've had Tony Seabrook from the Australian Pastoralists Association, and out there they had something, they still have something called as Aboriginal Heritage Laws that came in about 18 months ago. They've been watered down, but they're still there. And the bureaucracy that's created, I think at one point it was like disturbing the soil more beyond 6 inches requires consent or something.
Taking a fence post.
Digging a fence post, it was getting that ridiculous. So, yeah, I'd be worried too.
Even during adverse events, right? If we have an adverse event and we have a landslip and it goes down and covers a laneway or a track, we can't do remedial work on that and repair it until such time as you have a cultural assessment done, right, as part of this whole plan. So there's simple little things like that can happen. This is... It's beyond ridiculous.
Well, Jason, I know that I'm a bit of an old fossil when it comes to feds because I'm a long time gone. But my mantra was it was feds' job to maintain authority over property for its members. And I have to say, to maintain, you're doing the right thing here, standing up for the rights. But in the end, I think you need to start putting your hand up for compensation. So full compensation for takings under the RMA doesn't exist, but it should. So hopefully, and it has been talked about under the new government's reform of the RMA, there will be compensation for property right removal. Because that's, at the moment, society is getting a free run on property. They're not actually paying for their wishes that diminish the value of a property for its owner. And that's a serious impediment to this country. I mean, I think there's a big squeeze has been happening for years on property rights. And the sooner it gets to the pointy end, the better. And this just helps us get to the pointy end and fix it because, you know, you have freehold title, I have freehold title, I value that freehold title. But it seems that so many people want to value that freehold title for their way and their way only. And I've had enough. I don't know what the next generation is thinking about when they don't really stand up as hard as you and I might want to.
Yeah, well, if we don't stand up for the people, we'll lose our property rights, won't we? So that's all there is to it. And you're 100% correct on that. Property rights is everything to people out there, because why would they want to own it? All right, if they can't make the decisions, like all their property rights are diminishing now, because most of the time they can't make a decision what happens to their property unless they get permission to do it.
Well, absolutely, and it has massive ramifications for bankability, for your sanity. Actually, there's so many people coming at the people that want to do the right thing, earn some foreign exchange for the country. But all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, it's been a creeping syndrome. There's so many people wanting to feed off of it. And of course, you saw the best feeding frenzy possible this year through the region when you saw local authorities promoting, sometimes over 20% rate increases. Yeah, that all comes back from your pocket. And there seems to be no respect for the earning capacity of the producers. It's like the fair game. Let's just take more out of them. They'll pay. They'll keep paying. And we do. Where's the resistance?
Yeah, but we've got to stop this, Don. Like, we've got to stop paying, you know, because cost of living crisis at the moment is pretty tough. People are really struggling out there. Gore District have put 20% on theirs, all right, with another 20% next year. People, like, by the time we get to 2035, we've done the numbers. A pensioner's pension won't cover their rate bill.
Nope.
Yeah. You know, it won't. And what are we going to do with our elderly then that are on the pension? What are they going to do? Are we going to kick them out? Are we going to gather them all up into retirement homes when they don't want to?
The smart people have said they can just get a reverse mortgage and slowly wind their way out, and, you know, that'll fund it. Yeah. So these people on the other side that we're talking about in local and central government, really, they, you know, I understand how their wage regime is formulated. Everything is job sized. And of course, if the rate of inflation is 7% like it was last year, the expectation is sort of near there and probably more. And so they're getting their wage increases at your cost, because you're paying the bill through your rates. I don't see any feeling that local government in Southland, in the four councils we have, wants to terminate some employment. And of course, terminating employment is at great cost as well. They're building their empire rather than reducing it under this cost of living crisis that we all talk about.
Well, right now there's a bit of noise going on, Don, and we do have one person that has the best interests of ratepayers at heart, because they're talking about amalgamation right across the councils, which I'm all in favour of, right? And because that's going to eliminate a lot of people straight away.
Hopefully, right? Yep, absolutely.
And that's what it's about. And we do have some people in there that do have the best interests of ratepayers at heart, 100%. They're there for the right reasons, but cancel culture comes into this too.
Well, it might come as a surprise to you, Jason, but 20 plus years ago, I was one of the last four people on a concept called One Southland. And it was the same process that you're talking about today. But there's a problem in all of this, and I've always had this issue. Until councils' funding policy is sorted, where everybody knows exactly what they're paying for, funding policy is fundamental before you get this reform. And until we have funding policy reform, in my opinion, in local government, this won't work well for the whole district. It didn't work well for Auckland when the unitary, when the super city was formed. And I remember talking to the minister, Rodney Hyde, at the time, saying, Rodney, you've got to get funding policy right so that the northern side of Auckland wasn't feeling disadvantaged and the southern side wasn't feeling advantaged. You know, there was a whole lot of tension, and they'd never fixed it, and they rue that to this day, they rue that they never did that, fixed the funding policy. Now, my issue is this: when you've got equal opportunity and equal access to a local amenity like a library or a pool or a park, you should pay equally, preferably as a poll tax, in my view. But you know, but if it's on a property, every property should pay the same, because regardless of distance, because you've got equal access, equal opportunity, theoretically, to access that. It's not like that. We've got farms in this Invercargill area that way back, I'm not sure quite what it is now, they could be paying $3,000 and $4,000 for the library, or $3,000 and $4,000 for the swimming pool, or $3,000 and $4,000 for the museum. I mean, what is fair about funding policy? So here, I'm making my point. Got to get funding policy right before we do any amalgamations. It just won't work otherwise.
And if I may add something here, a brief for the local government is so vague. Your environmental, social, economic, and cultural well-being. Now there's precious little that doesn't fit into these four criteria. And so for me, the way I look at it, local governments, councils, regional councils, they've all been just given, just go ahead, do whatever you like, and it'll fit into one of those. And again, the same card, the racist card, has been used so often. I call it the lazy card, because that's the argument that comes across when nothing else fits. They've got nothing else to throw at you. Throw that one. They are just not stopping. There are so many people who now are, I think, the machinery that has grown to no small extent due to the environmentalism. Farmers, you must do better. You must do better with water, your management, all of this. No one tells us what success looks like clean water. What is the end goal here? What is the end point? At that, this point, we'll say, right, nirvana achieved, we are done, we're going home. There is no such end point. And until we define those limits that this is where we are going to draw the line, after this, you guys are on your own. I just see, you know, clipboards yielding or what, iPads holding now, bureaucrats never stopping, going more and more behind the farm gate, or if you're in town, you know, inside your fence, it doesn't stop.
Yeah. So on this particular issue, we are going to have a public meeting at some point, and because there is a lot of angry people out there, right, and a lot of uncertainty, a lot of anxiety going on. We are yet to confirm that date, but it's not going to be too far away. So once we've met with the local Runanga, had a lot more conversation, got more collaborative approach around our wording and how we're going to push back against this, you know, more clearly, then we'll have that public meeting and get everyone in the room. And I will encourage local Runanga to attend that public meeting as well, because I think it's important that everybody hears directly from them. And if they've got a specific point that they want to put across, I think I think it'll be a great thing for them.
You're right. Jason, are you also liaising with the Fed's presidents in other provinces? This is happening.
Yes, we are. Absolutely. So as soon as this press release came out, I had multiple phone calls from around the country. So, you know, all in support of this, for us pushing back.
Mm. Yeah, and certainly last year when we first were, about a year ago in this show, we were talking about the Timaru District Council. And, you know, we got the names of four or five key people, and in the end, not one of them would come on our show. And I think it was intimidation. They were scared because of intimidation. And so, Jason, it's great that, you know, you've got the banner of Federated Farmers Southland and the president. So you've got status to run this thing. And it's important that leaders like you do stand really strongly for your members. And actually for the good of the wider society. So, you know, we'll see, we'll watch this evolve. And I'd just say all power to your arm. Yeah, it's important that you get this right. None of us want to desecrate what are obviously significant sites. None of us want to do that. But I have culture on my farm. It's my culture, and I own it. No one else has a right to come here, as far as I'm concerned, if they can't identify something. And that's where it sits with me. So, all the best. Keep up the good fight. Thanks for coming on RCR Greenwashed again, Jason,
You're
and
welcome.
all the
Lovely to
best in
be
your
here.
job.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you.
See you around.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.